In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, we got to last Sunday evening. I want to pick up in verse 7 again. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon is Satan. The dragon and his angels waged war. And they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. Now, what you and I need to keep straight in our minds and understand that this is future. This has not happened yet, but it's going to happen in the days to come. I remember last Wednesday evening speaking about the three heavens that the Greeks and the Jews taught about, spoke about. The first heaven is where the sky is, and the birds fly, the planes fly, the clouds float by. Second heaven is outer space, where the planets are. And the third heaven that the Bible speaks about, somewhere in the far north, the Bible speaks about, that's the third heaven, and that's where God resides. That's where Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father and ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. You and I cannot begin to understand, we cannot begin to comprehend why on earth would God allow Satan the parameters? Why would he allow him time to come into his presence and to accuse the brethren? But the Bible tells us that's so. Verse 9 says, and the great dragon, that's speaking of Satan, was thrown down. That happens during the days of the tribulation and during the last 3.5 years. The serpent of old, notice his name, dragon, serpent, who is called the devil and Satan. Notice four of the names right there given for Satan. He's referred to as the great dragon, the serpent of old, the devil, and Satan. Notice who deceives the whole world. Who deceives the whole world. Let me tell you, he's doing a pretty good job of it tonight. All over the world tonight, people are being deceived by the cunningness of Satan. He who deceives the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth. And his angels were thrown down with him. This is in time to come. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, Satan once again accusing the brethren, has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And now this is speaking about not only the brethren during those days that will be saved, but it says in verse 11, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. He's speaking there about those during the days of the great tribulation. That last 3.5 months, that last 3.5 years of that 7-year period in Daniel called Daniel's 70th week. The last 3.5 years, the 1290 days, the 42 months, times and half a time, all of those are referring to the same amount of time. And notice how they overcame. And they overcame him. Who did? Those that are going to be saved there. those that he's been accusing. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. And then notice the warning that is given. The proclamation here, woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he only has a short time. Let me tell you, when this happens in the future, Satan will realize that his time is coming to an end. Notice that it says here, woe to the earth. Notice it says the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he only has a short time. And all of the fury of Satan, all of the things that he's going to do in the days to come during the last 3.5 years of this 7-year period of tribulation, Satan realizes that he's only got 3.5 years left to do all that he's going to do. And so his great fury, his great wrath is being poured out upon the earth. And this is one of the reasons why these last 3.5 years is referred to as the Great Tribulation. Notice, if you will, in verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman. Remember, the woman there is referring to the nation of Israel. The church is the bride. For 2,000 years, the saved during the time of Pentecost, 2,000 years ago when the Holy Spirit came, you and I are the bride of Christ. But notice the woman. He's referring to the nation of Israel. He persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. And that is, of course, Jesus, because Messiah came through the nation of Israel. Jesus himself was of Jewish lineage. Verse 14 says, but the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time, that's a year, times, that's 2 more years. So 1 plus 2 is 3, and half of a time, which would be a half of 1, would be another half, so you've got 3.5 years there from the presence of the serpent. Now, what on earth is he referring to about these two wings of the great eagle? Well, you know, in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were coming up out of Egyptian bondage, the Bible says he bore them on eagle's wings. I don't know what all of that means. There's a lot of speculation by different Bible scholars and prophecy teachers about how that will be. Some people see that and think, well, is that speaking about the United States of America? There are other various interpretations, but whatever these two wings are of the great eagle that are going to be given to Israel, so that she, notice, could fly into the wilderness to her place. God has a place for the nation that are going to be saved. Many of these will be going to this place. Some refer to it as Petra, Petra from the rock, a place over in the Holy Land that is pretty much impregnable of an enemy coming against those that will be hidden there, that will be place there, wherever this is in the wilderness, if Petra is that place, or wherever this place is going to be. Notice where she was nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. Notice God has a place here. Verse 15 says, "And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood." There's various interpretations. Is this speaking about literal water? Is this speaking about words spewing forth out of a mouth? Whatever it is referring to, notice verse 16 says, "But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." There'll be many Israelites that are going to go to this place. They're going to flee to this place where they will be nourished, where there will be some protection here for them. In verse 17, the Satan here, the dragon, "So the dragon was enraged with," notice, "the woman Israel." And what does Satan do? "And went off to make war with the rest of her children." Who's it referring to here? Is it referring to the 144,000 Jewish evangelists? Is it referring to people that are getting saved during this time? I think that is referring possibly to all of that. But notice how that Satan is so enraged. He is filled with incredible anger and wrath because his time is running out. The time clock is ticking. The hourglass is going to eventually come down to this last 3.5 years. And so Satan is going to turn, notice, "And he went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." Now, Satan's fury against the nation will last for this last 3.5 years, according to verses 6 and 14. This is the last half of the tribulation. God is going to supernaturally protect Israel from Satan's onslaught, which is symbolized by a furious flood flowing from the dragon's mouth. And Satan will use the Antichrist as his primary tool for carrying out this extermination plan. You do remember that in this tribulation period, you've got the Antichrist, the one world dictator, who is going to be absolutely empowered by Satan to do all of these horrible, heinous things of persecution during this period of time. He has his sidekick. He will be the false prophet, the one who will head up the one world religion. Folks, can you not see? We sing that old song, "Open my eyes that I may see." Let me tell you, do you see tonight how that the world is in such a state of flux that is arguing over the canon of Scripture? Well, this is, but this isn't. And now we've changed all of the rules of what God said about man and woman, what God said about marriage, what God said about abortion, all of these things that are being changed in the world that you and I live in? Can you not see what is happening subtly before our very eyes? They're looking to form the one world government, which will be in collusion with the one world religion. A one world religion where everybody will be forced to believe what this false prophet is going to be proclaiming out there. This one world Antichrist, he is going to use the false prophet during this last 3.5 years here, where he is going to force people to take the mark of the beast. The beast is the Antichrist. The dragon is Satan. The false prophet will be the one world head over the religious amalgamation of various parts of people's religions that will be used to come together to form this one world religion. And this Antichrist will use this false prophet. And because this Antichrist is going to be so incredibly filled with Satan himself, he is going to be empowered to do signs and wonders that would absolutely cause even the greatest to be deceived if it were not for the Spirit of Almighty God within them. Let me tell you, people will be deceived. They will believe a lie over truth because they're going to be deceived. People will be bowing at this one world dictator. I read just this past week that the world is ripe, that the world is on target for this one world person to come to the forefront, who has the answers to all of the economic stressors throughout the world. And because religion and because Christianity is being so attacked in the world that you and I live in, can't you see what is happening out there? It's all coming together as we speak. And so Satan is going to do everything that he can. A description of the Antichrist immediately follows when we get to chapter 13. What will be some of the activities of Satan in the end of times? One, he will lead the false, unholy Trinity. We'll look at that in chapter 13. He and his demonic angels will be cast out of heaven by Michael the archangel in Revelation chapter 12. He will persecute the Jewish people. He realizes that time is short and all of his wrath will be poured out on the earth. He will accuse God's people before the throne until he's cast out of heaven. He will deceive the world. He will lead a final rebellion against God when we get to Revelation chapter 20. What are some of his names? What are some of the profiles for the devil? We know him as Satan. We know him as the devil. We know him here in the book of Revelation as a great red dragon. We know him here in the book of Revelation as the great dragon. We know him here in Revelation as the serpent of old. We know him here in Revelation as the accuser. We know him in Revelation as a deceiver. It truly amazes me what people will fall for. It amazes me how people will get in line over things. How the people will line up. And people will be absolutely mesmerized at the incredible power and the signs that will be given by Satan to this one world leader and dictator. Notice, as this satanic war rages in heaven, and then we're told here in chapter 12, it's going to spill over to this earth. Another event on earth will set in motion a series of dramatic events that will compel the entire world to worship the Antichrist. This will involve the Antichrist. It will involve his false prophet. And it's going to involve the rebuilt temple that we looked at in Revelation chapter 11 that's going to be rebuilt over there in the Holy Land. During at least part of the first half of the tribulation, the Jewish people are going to fall under the assumption, because of this peace treaty, this one world dictator is going to bring to the Jewish people. He is going to come to them. He's going to come peaceably to them. He is going to confirm a covenant with them. At the first of the tribulation, he is going to allow them to rebuild the temple, to reinstitute those Old Testament sacrificial systems for the absolution of sin. They rejected Christ. Now they're going to go back to that old Mosaic sacrificial system during the days of the tribulation. They're going to be excited. They're going to be jubilant. They're going to be happy. You and I, you can Google the Temple Institute of Israel. Go Google it and read about it. It's fascinating. They already know who the ones from the priestly tribe of Levi are that will qualify to be the priestly leaders in the temple. They've already made all of the clothing that is going to be used. They have replicated the instruments to be used in temple worship. The only thing that I know that they don't have at this point is the Ark of the Covenant, and I understand they know where it is. They're just not telling. And as we saw a few weeks back, they've discovered red heifers that they have to have to sacrifice for the ashes to be put into the solution to cleanse those that will be entering the temple, and to cleanse those for all these many years that have had any contact whatsoever with the outside world of death and sickness, because to be around those things is to be unclean. And so the only thing that I know at this point, it's just not if, but when it's going to all come together and when it's going to take place. But in the middle of this first 3.5 years, what we've just looked at in chapter 12 and going to look at next week in chapter 13 is that this one world leader, this beast, this Antichrist, this one world God that will cause people to worship him. In the middle of the 7-year tribulation, he is going to put a stop to sacrifices and grain offerings. And on the wing of abominations, he will come and he will cause the temple to be desecrated. Let me tell you, the Antichrist is going to break the peace treaty with Israel. He is going to want to be worshiped as God himself. He will not be able to be in the temple every moment of the day. So there will be an idol, there will be an image that will be able to speak. And that's one of the things that is called the abomination of desolation. The abomination on the wings of abominations refers to the pinnacle of the temple, and it emphasizes the idea of an overspreading influence. In other words, what begins at the temple is going to spread to other places. The abomination of desolation is an idol or image that will desecrate the temple, and it spreads out from there to the entire world. Warren Wiersbe says, what is the abomination of desolation? He says it's the image of the beast set up in the temple in Israel in Jerusalem. An idol is bad enough, but setting it up in the temple is the height of all blasphemy. Since Satan could not command worship in heaven, he's going to go to the next best place, the Jewish temple in the holy city of Jerusalem. When we were studying the book of Daniel, we talked about one from the Syrian group. If you'll remember, when Alexander the Great died and his family was obliterated, and then his kingdom was divided among four generals. One of those was the Seleucid kingdom, the king of Syria, which Antiochus Epiphanes, if you'll remember, he went into the temple. He desecrated it. He even at one time caught a bunch of Jews in a cave, and he had the entrance closed off to the cave where there was no way out, and set fire so that all of those in there died. He caused the Jewish people, he forced them to eat pork, which was against the Mosaic law. He spread pork's blood on the walls of the temple, and he desecrated the temple. In fact, Antiochus Epiphanes means the madman. He's referred to, that madman is referred to as the Old Testament Antichrist. And if you'll remember, we talked about the Maccabean period when Judas Maccabees and the hammer Maccabees took and consecrated and fought a war and won that war and then consecrated the temple. Remember the menorah, that they needed the oil and they found just enough oil, but it wasn't going to be enough to last for 8 days for the consecration of the temple. But it lasted miraculously for 8 days. And Antiochus Epiphanes totally was taken out. The temple was reclaimed. It was consecrated and cleansed. And because of that, a holiday among the Jews is now festival or feast of lights, or Hanukkah, as you and I understand it and know it. Let me tell you, this Antiochus Epiphanes was an abomination in what he did. Amazingly, Daniel predicted this abomination that's going to happen. from the book of Revelation 400 years before it ever happened with Antiochus Epiphanes. Listen to what Daniel 8, 11 through 14 says. It even challenged the commander of heaven's army by canceling the daily sacrifices that were offered to him by destroying his temple. The army of heaven was restrained from responding to this rebellion. So the daily sacrifice was halted and truth was overthrown and the horn succeeded in everything it did. Then I heard two holy ones talking to each other, and one of them asked, "How long will the events of this vision last? How long will the rebellion that causes desecration stop the daily sacrifices? How long will the temple and heaven's army be trampled on?" And the other replied, "It will take 2,300 evenings and mornings, and then the temple will be made right again." You see, the next to come to power is going to be this despicable one world dictator. He will slip in one of these days when the world is desperate, when the world needs someone to lead. You can only imagine tonight if you and I were suddenly raptured out of this world. Can you only imagine what tomorrow will be like, what tomorrow would be like, the chaos that this world is absolutely going to be thrown into, abject horror of what on earth has happened? Where are the millions and millions that are missing? Has some alien invasion come? Has some gravitational force caused this to happen? Let me tell you, those of us who know what it's going to be, it's called the rapture of the church. The great catching away one of these days. But if you can only imagine what on earth the world will be like, in disarray, frantic, petrified, terrified. But there will be one that will step on the stage. And let me tell you, he will look like he has the answers that the world has been looking for many, many years. And he'll come in and he'll make that peace treaty with the Jews. Some people think he'll be Jewish. I don't. I believe he will be Roman or Gentile. I mean, after all, it was the Romans that trampled the city of Jerusalem back when this all took place with Titus and then Antiochus, all of those things. I believe it will be somebody out of the Holy Roman Empire that's revived. I believe that the Catholic Church is going to play a great role in end time events. I believe all of those things are going to happen. Let me tell you, the Antichrist, his army, will take over the temple. He'll pollute the sanctuary. He'll put a stop to those sacrifices. In his initial takeover of Jerusalem, the Antichrist will sit in the very Holy of Holies in the temple, declaring to the world that he is God, and he will establish a false world religion that he's going to impose on the rest of the world. The Antichrist will not be able to sit 24/7 to receive worship. So in place of that, there will be an abomination, an image or an idol of his likeness constructed to sit in the temple in his place. Can you see how that's possible today? Have y'all ever heard of AI? Have y'all ever heard of artificial intelligence? Any of y'all ever read the news? Any of you ever see the picture this past week that AI said looked like the face of God? Absolutely hideous. It was a horrendous looking thing. And I thought, oh dear God, why are people stupid? Why are people so silly to believe? Let me tell you, the Bible says no man has seen God's face. And I've got news for that little machine. It had neither. But there will be people that will believe that. There will be people that will read it. They will believe it. Let me tell you, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, there are going to be people that you would have never believed in all of your life that will fall for his devices. Folks, let me tell you, there'll be people sitting in churches all over America and all over the world. As one man said to me this past week at a funeral, he said, I can assure you not everybody sitting in the church house is going to heaven. And I said, I am sure you are correct. Billy Graham himself said if all the Baptists in the world died today, he said 50% of them would wake up in hell tomorrow. Now, I didn't say that. He did. And since you have great, great respect for him, he said that. When someone said to me this week, do you think everybody that sits in church on Sunday morning is going to heaven? I said, why would I believe that? The devil deceives people. That's why you and I better know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Do you know that 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 you're going to heaven? Because the Bible I read says not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, but he that does the will of the Father, which is in heaven. You can sit in church every Sunday morning. You can be dunked in the waters 365 days out of the year and die and go to hell. And folks, I don't know about you, but I oftentimes wake up in the middle of the night and I check myself out all the time. Lord, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. And let me tell you, I'm concerned when I see people that fall away. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord. Well, I mean, after all, according to the Bible, didn't the devils believe and tremble? The devils Jesus cast out. They knew who Jesus was. They were terrified of him. Folks, let me tell you, not everybody that sits in church is going to heaven. But I'll tell you who is going to heaven that sits in churches. Everyone that calls on the name of the Lord and means it. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I was leaving the cemetery a few years ago, I had done a service for a person. There was a guy in the crowd. He followed me to my car. He said, Pastor, I want to ask you a question. Does everybody go to heaven? I was assuming that he was assuming that every funeral he went to, everyone was preached into heaven. And I could have assumed that he knew more about the deceased than I knew. You know, someone said this, try to live a life in such a way that the preacher don't have to lie about you at your funeral. Well, you know what I found out through the years, guys? If I don't know the person, all I've got to go by is what their family tells me. And nobody wants to believe that their family member is lost. Hello? Y'all hear what I'm saying? It's an awesome thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's what the Bible says. That's why I guard this pulpit. That's why I try to give it 100% of trying to rightly divide the word of truth. But that man that followed me to my car that day said this, "Does everybody go to heaven?" And I believe that the Holy Spirit took this out of my mouth because it was too quick for me to make a decision. And I immediately said, everybody goes to heaven that has asked Jesus Christ into their heart and life and mean it. Jesus said, you must be born again. That's who's going to heaven. When Billy Graham made those statements, I could not help but think, oh, how sad. He also said that the greatest mission field in all of the world, he said, is America. America. And you know what? I think he's right. I think he's right. It's the greatest mission field. Let me tell you, right outside the walls of this church, there's a mission field. But I'm afraid we've become too commodious in our padded pews. And we want to say, well, if we knocked on their door, they won't answer. Or everybody I ask, they're already saved. Am I telling the truth? Hello, y'all there? It's pretty true, isn't it? That happens with preachers too. Oh, I've knocked on their door, they won't answer. Yeah, everybody in their household is saved for 500 generations back. Folks, not everybody is going to heaven. But one of these days, the curtain's going to fall. And we're going to stand in the presence of Jesus at one of two places. Either at the judgment seat of Christ for the saved, or at the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennial reign for those that are going to be judged out of the books, plural, for their works, because their works will not have saved them. They rejected Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. In this new year, I want to challenge you and me to try to do more for Jesus than we've ever done, whatever that means. But let me tell you, the world is getting worse and worse and worse. For those that think the world is going to get better and better and better, I've not seen that. And I believe that, as Ken sang a few moments ago, I believe Jesus is tenderly calling, softly and tenderly. Time is now fleeting. The moments are passing. They're passing from you and from me. This morning when I mentioned how many people in the next 365 days that you know and I know will no longer be with us at the close of December 31st, 2023, because we've lost some people recently that died suddenly or within a very few short days. Folks, let me tell you, I believe that it's time that the church stand up and do what pleases the good Lord. Wherever that puts you, wherever that puts me, whatever that call is for us to do. We live in an interesting time. And I'm not going to get into a great debate in closing here. Should I have taken the shot? Should I not have taken the shot? Should I have taken the booster? Should I not have taken the booster? But I heard a very interesting thing on the radio this week of a great proponent who was humongous on people being mandated to take the vaccine. He said, I was one of the greater proponents of people doing that. I had looked at it. I'd thought about it. I'd seen how much research supposedly had gone into it. But he said, when one family member called me and said, I've lost 3 family members and all 3 died the very next day after they took the shot, and none of them had a health issue. He said, I thought that was strange and surely could not be. He said, then other people began to call me. He said, I went to the VAERS report, which is, anybody can pull it up on the internet. He said, 250 Americans took the vaccination. He said, for every 1,000, according to that report, 2 people die. For every 1,000, he said, now that doesn't sound like many. But he said, that would mean 500,000 died as a result. Heart attacks, blood clots, brain aneurysms, various things. And he said, I've changed my whole opinion. Now, the only reason that I mention that is whether you took it, whether you didn't, that's you. That's up to you. Whether you rejected it, that's up to you. But my point is this. During the days of the tribulation, when people are going to be forced to take the mark of the beast, you can't buy, you can't sell without this mark. Because of fear, do you see how many people are going to line up and take the mark of the beast? They're going to forever, according to the Bible, they will forever be lost, forever. Can't change it then. It's too late. Can't change it. And my thought is this. I'd be the first to line up on something that I think I need. I'd be the very first. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. But the reason I didn't, and that many of you came down on me hard for, I had a gut feeling from day one not to do it. And that's the only reason that I didn't do that. But my point is this. During the days of the tribulation, people are going to be falling at the feet of world leaders doing what they want them to do. And it's going to be a scary time. Don't be left behind. Be sure that you know, 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 Jesus. this could be our last year. We could leave this life, or the rapture may come. Only God knows. But just be sure that the most important thing is that you have Jesus in your heart. Would you stand as we pray together? Father God, as we leave here tonight, I pray your blessings upon these good people. God, encourage them. Speak to their hearts. Speak to my heart. Speak to the heart of this church, that we would be found watching, working, waiting for the clarion trumpet sound to rise up out of a world that is so desperate that even creation is groaning for the day of redemption. Father, help us this new year that we would be more serious Bible studiers, not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And God, give us a passion. Give us a burning zeal for the lost, I pray. Oh God, when I see what's happening in America, where we're being censored at every turn of the road for what Christianity stands for, it just proves to me over and over again that times are later than we can even begin to imagine. So God, help us this new year to give of our best to you. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.